Blog Talk Radio.
Gives both authors and audience alike the chance to entertain a deeper discussion regarding a choice selection of poems from the author's catalog of work. Headliners will perform their pieces in their intended style. In turn, they will receive encouraging feedback from an all-inclusive panel of late-night poet callers. I am your host, Jeremy F., and as always, I am joined by my lovely and talented co-host, Pam Ray, who, yes, the stories are true, everyone. She was recently approached by a billionaire entrepreneur who offered to buy her AP moniker and body of work for a hefty seven-figure sum. And her now infamous answer that we all know because of the headlines are, sorry, Elon Musk, this gal ain't for sale. How are you, Pammy?
Oh, man, I wish. I am doing great, as always. Looking forward to hanging out with you and the other cool poets and delving into the poetry. It's going to be an awesome show tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it, too. Do we have our two poets on the line with us yet?
We do. Welcome, Chinaski and Randy. Glad you could both be here.
Hello.
Hey there.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here. I'm...
Hi, Randy. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Hi, Pam.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Chinaski.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad we're all here. So, Randy, Chinaski has asked to go first tonight because he's actually over across in Europe, and he's actually experiencing early morning right now. And Chinaski, I want to make sure that I understand, because Pam, I think he wants to do his format a little differently. All of his poems are on SoundClouds, and he has graciously grouped them in terms of themes. So I think, what do you have, Chinaski? You have five or six different themes. And if I understand correctly, you want us to play all of the poems in each theme before we delve into any conversation. Is that how you'd like to format it?
Yeah, you know, I think they all relate it together, and it'd be easier. So I divided it into five categories. So memorial poetry of those poets that passed away over the year that I know of. Some experimental stuff that I'm working on. Some interpretation of our times. And jazz fusion, if we have time enough, and then special for those people that have, pain in their lives, you know. So those are the categories. And I was thinking, if you don't mind, Pam, we just do it back-to-back, each poem down the line, you know, with the SoundCloud. And I will just introduce it with the title. And at the end of the segment, we can talk about where my head's at.
And let's do it that way, so it'll give Pam a chance to pull each one up, if you don't mind, Chinaski. So what I'm going to do is I'll pull up the first one, Hidden Closet.
Okay, cool.
And then you just say this is the first poem, Hidden Closet, and then Pam can put it in, and then directly after that I'll just go right through your set list. So you can just introduce the poem,
exactly.
And then
cool.
Does that work?
Yes, that's cool. And, hey, Randy, thanks a lot for letting me go. You know, I'm here in Europe getting ready for work. So,
no problem.
I have to get in. You know, it's early morning here. Thanks a lot, Randy. And by the way, both of your poetry. I read some of your poetry, and I really, really enjoy it. Yeah, it's a great turn-on. Thanks a lot for the invitation also.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a great first hour.
Thank you very much. I've read yours as well and enjoyed them.
Right on, guys. Right on, right on. Well, I want to be respectful of everyone's time, so let's dive right into it. Pam, the first one, go ahead. Chinaski is Hidden Closet.
Hidden Closet.
There is hope hidden away in closets. As the light shines immaculately, it reflects a tinted image, filtered in a most pleasing wave. It becomes an unknown quality, tuned with the slightest whisper, trough, and crest. And you have become that color, painted through long, winding paths, rippling through seaweed coasts, kissing shores, gently lapping with a constant rhythm. I hear it as I become driftwood, following horizon. Bright red, soothing yellows, soft pinks scattered through billowing blues, purple lesions retired into spiritual tents, touching Rayleigh reds, soft eyes, absorbent, stretched evenly, becoming bouquets as the sun quietly sleeps. Each night circling Cinderella dreams, white picket, cloudy cushions, surrounding sweet bouncing bottles on a thin raft, finding solutions inside bottomless, rounded rosé glasses. Eyes of God, four-cornered cocoon, moon meditation, wandering walls with speckles, flickering flames, illuminating darkness, separating us over and over.
Yeah, and now the next one is Together in Seasons of Hell.
And you'll remember poems of the voice in unmarked graves as piled driftwood roams. Saw you standing at heaven's door with unanchored rhythm, merry-go-rounds, your hair flowing freedom during dark hell war days. We have the midnight creatures, crawling kick snakes in our bed, where cruel czars tossed the dreams, fled with black rivers turned to red. Now it comes to pass with the weather overhead that our childhood forest is now burnt and dead. With the war now rearing its ugly head, looking in the eyes of our worldly end, take my hand to empty grains of sand and we'll stay as planted seeds that will grow upon ashes, turn dust, then the float, billow in, breeze. We'll drop together as doves, roaming wandering upon heated streets, howling midnight moons, undressing midnight dreams. Voices called as we took off our masks, returning to our beginning grown redwood trees. But today we must sleep, covered in soiled blankets and crowded graves, cradled arms holding us back from yesterday's ruined remnants, resembling dry ashen theaters, cutting out dreams. Amid flurry, choppy tides, a harsh winter, children's dark night, we raced as hurricanes through islands, random abandon, conquering delight. Light feathers revolved upon waves, rolling dead. Forever in deep sleep, blinking eyes, kissing the land, cleansed by storms, we'll drift seaward together toward horizon.
Yeah. So that was memorial poetry that I did together. The first two compositions, Hidden Closet and Together in Seasons of Hell, I did the guitar background on, and on September, that was another background music put in there. So, you guys, first of all, what do you know about me?
Well, do you want to do you have one more on your memorial list, September. Do you want to hit that one real quick?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, did we play that yet? September, I'm sorry. Yeah, September.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No problem.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
Just met September with her streams beneath forest pines peer endlessly upwards. Suspended incense caught with billowing petals, blossoming bouquets, trailing butterflies. Escaping through vacant eyes, sleeping silently with cocoons, your mosaic scribblings of destination, so powerful those images of baroque. It turned me into a twiggy nest, illuminated wisdom anchored by the people I've met here. Weak, distracted, floating figurines, lifting heavy feet towards a small existence, stained glass in churches, resembling dried, ashen theaters, cutting dreams into shapely silhouettes, our mosaic together. The moon melted past midnight, we worshipped the heated city, turning pale rocks curve in lines, gilt and gold, exposing strange worms beneath, discontented madmen revealed. It has all passed you now, as a warm summer breeze.
Wow, what a great set. What a great set of immortal poetry. I really enjoyed that. Pam, do you want to start us off with
yeah.
the drama?
Yes, well, I know Chinaski asked, what do you guys know about me? And to be honest, I don't think I know a lot, but my guesses are, based on your poetry and the little bit I've talked to you, is I will say that you care very much about social issues and taking care of the earth. You have a big giving and protective heart. You like Bukowski, the Beat Poets, and Jim Morrison. You are a spiritual person, but not necessarily a religious person. And those are my guesses about you, based on your poetry.
Okay, thanks. And what do you know about me, Jeremy?
I'll get my turn. I have to march down the list here, buddy. I'll get my turn to chime here in a second. Randy, first, do you want to chime in or comment on Chinaski's first set?
Sure. To be honest, I didn't know anything about you at all before I read your poetry in the last several days, and I know that as I read it, it reminded me of what it must have been like to be in a coffee shop in the Village in New York, maybe back in the Beatnik days and early hippie days, with that kind of poetry. And I'm not a very deep person, so a lot of it kind of goes beyond me. I appreciate the fact that you're very passionate in all of your poetry. A lot of it is on the darker side, but that's okay. It has passion and feeling to it. So that's kind of what I drew from reading your poetry, and I really enjoyed it. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And,
yeah, no, great
it's talk. A nice introduction. It's always a very nice introduction to go through, you know, a person's work, and I do appreciate that, and I will do the same. This is our footprints, you know, and of course, you know, in our space here, which we have for the venue. And Jeremy, have you been reading me? Do you know about me a little bit?
I do. Of course I do. Yes. No, I was excited to have you. I'm glad you were able to join us. So, yeah, I've read your work, and I enjoy it. I think Pam's perspective from obviously before tonight, I mean, that's the whole point of this show, is to get to know you even better than what we know from our own interpretations of your work.
Yes.
I've seen some of the contests you've entered, and I think Pam's take is a lot of what I know of you as well. I want to comment on what
yes.
we listened to. I think the body of those memorial poems, it was beautiful, man. And one of these people in particular I was very close with, was one of my really close buddies on AP, Banjo. So everyone that contributed to her and her memorial, it was really touching to me. So I really like that. And then Jessica D, we had on the show, actually. We celebrated her as a headliner. It's a little bit of a different format for her poetry. But I also got to chat with her because she would chime in on the Late Night Poets boards from time to time. So she was a fun spirit as well. Mm-hmm. So it was those two, the second two of the three that you presented particularly struck a chord with me. What I liked was, and the one to Jessica, the stanza where it says, it turned me into a twiggy nest illuminated with and anchored by the people I've met here. I mean, that's my biggest takeaway from all of this, is the fact that connections that we seem to form through this shared love of an art form, they're real. I mean, I tease and talk to Pam every week, but I don't know that she and I will ever get to, you know, toast a beer together, but I still consider her a close friend. So it's really cool, the bonds that we are able to make through, like I said, through the shared love of poetry. And I think that you took the time to do SoundClouds and pay homage to these fallen poets is it's a beautiful thing, man. I think you did a wonderful tribute to all three of them.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy. First of all, this is, you know, first of all, everyone calls me Cal. So it's not really Chinansky, but, you know, all the people I know call me Cal. And my background is indigenous. And, you know, if you look through some of the latest poems that I wrote, I've gotten into some of my family history, such as Black and White, and which is a marriage between my grandfather, who is indigenous, and my grandmother in South America. So it's just, you know, there's a lot of things about me. You know, I'm heavily influenced by the Ludwig Wittgenstein, who is a philosopher, you know, and 20th century, who uses truth through his poetry. And what I try to write is truth, and I'm heavily influenced, of course, by the people that came before me, such as the Beats, but I don't like to be labeled as any kind of genre in particular. I just want to be who I am, and I think that's what everybody wants to do in poetry, is to be, you know, is to write their truth. And this is the reason why I follow Ludwig Wittgenstein's philosophies, and paint in your, you know, put in your world into your truth, and having that space of, you know, an understanding in the language as well. I'm an abstract poet, so, you know, that's the main thing. So all you guys call me Cal, please. And I think I'll run through the poetry, okay, really quick. The first one that I did, Hidden Closet, was for Big Verge. I don't know if you know him, but he was with, he's in the other group, Disabilities, and he's a hip-hop and rapper, and he has such a talent. And if you look on that page, you know, I put a link in there for him, and you have to listen to some of his SoundClouds, you know, which are really, really good. And he's just a hidden talent, you know, a hidden gem who is gone, you know. Everyone suspects that he's dead or he committed suicide or whatever, but for me, he's still alive, you know, so I don't consider him really dead, and he's always there with his rap, you know. The next one that I did was for which was for Banjo, you know, and Together in Seasons of Hell, because I felt through her poetry, although I really struck a chord with me as far, I kept my distance from her because, you know, we're on different sides of the fence, you know, and she respected me, I respected her work, and we just, you know, kept our distance, you know, but the thing that struck me the most about her truth, you know, is her surroundings and the torment that she went through. Some of her poetry really struck a chord with me like that. And I had to give my homage because I've known Banjo for many, many years here on AP. And, you know, I've been here on AP for now 12 years. So, you know, that I had to write something about her and on a more spiritual way, you know. And the last one was with Jess. And I've just recently met her in September, actually. And that's the whole thing about the title of that, is September. And the things that she brought to me, especially with her poetry and her Baroque, her brevity, you know. You have to read her, people. She's still in our hearts. And all these people who passed away during the year, it's in our hearts, you know. Great. Thank you so much for the comments. So for the next set, I think, let's see, what do we have up on next?
Midnight Still Life.
Yeah, that's the experimental stuff that I'm working on. So this is a composition, Midnight Still Life, and I hope you people like it. Thanks. Thank you.
shores, washing colored grapes of harvest. Raised glass smashed against salted reefs. The ceremony begins. Ringing chimes, billow in salted wind, bodice, bell dress, upon morning horizon, in sanctuary. Circle of insanity, caught like bees, circling hives in a lounge with frozen pose. Remember the sleepy symphony beaten on our eyes. It's an old story, how we wanted to dance among the midnight harvest of delicate fertility, sleeping in the crib, under our cupboard, as Coltrane serpent sacks, played love supreme, boats floating carelessly, quite wooden, no salt water under it, drunk with desire. And in need of some paint, piled age, driftwood. Nerve endings turned on as Christmas lights play like musical instruments and toiling soldiers, beat drums, strings resonated through echoes. With the composer stepping into fire.
And for our next one, Footprints.
Was it you in a crowded bar, lonely by dusty billiards? They played on rose petals. We spoke easy over murmuring rondo. Beach benches, graffiti-filled, dying shadows resembling moon silhouettes. A beach so empty with floating fears raining high over suspended essence, soft swaying palms patiently awaiting sunrise. Forever frozen, youth quickly grew into bouquets. Union with ocean, windswept hair, baptized into dawn, our history awaiting birth. Steeples shine, hovering above. It was warm embers of what we've become. Walking footprints upon sultry shores and cradled cribs, my anchor held steadfast. Acrylic carved ringing dreams, shining violins into our truths.
Yes, so that was the experimental portion of what I'm doing. The first one, Midnight composition, Midnight Still Life. I actually entered that on a couple contests. One contest. It's an abstract, and it's actually a picture prompt that I did for another group, you know, within AP, and just wanted to go through the visuals of that. If you're clicking on the poem, you can see the visuals there, and that's the one on there on that particular poem. How'd you like it? Did you like the background music? And
yeah,
the background music
cool.
Is done by 1901, and it's more electronic. So getting into a little bit of I call it electronic poetry, but, you know, we're just playing around with things and backgrounds and noise. So.
Very cool. Yeah, Randy, do you want to start us off with some comments on that set?
Yeah, sure. I thought the first stanza wonderfully describes the picture and sets the stage for the rest of the poem very well. And I thought, you know, the rest of the poem just kind of floats from reality to, like, imagination. But I thought it was all very intriguing, and like you said, it's abstract, but it's still very enjoyable, and I liked it.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Randy.
Yeah, I agree, Randy. And what I really liked about that, Cal, is especially after the first set, and I think you introduced or explained in that first set that you were playing guitar in the background, and then what I really appreciate is when you did this whole body of SoundClouds, like going section by section like we're doing, you can tell that you're definitely broadening your horizons. You're challenging what you can convey, and you're having fun playing with the art form of poetry. And it comes across as beautiful every time, man. I mean, it gets cool to always challenge yourself, and I'm always intrigued when people go out in different ways. The fact that you even labeled this experimental is really cool because it's something different, but it's still very endearing and very intriguing, and I enjoyed both of these in this set. Can you tell us a little bit about the person you collaborated with and how taking the music from someone else and how that might be different compared to your other SoundClouds, what that experience was like?
To be honest, I don't know too much about him. I just know him through SoundCloud, and he's 1901, and he also is picking up my SoundCloud clips, you know, and using them. He asked me, because I do the voice, and he just wanted to put some background on it, and I agreed, you know, and he's done it with other poets as well around town, you know, so... it's a new genre trying to create.
Honestly. No, I didn't know that you guys didn't know each other. That's even cooler. I mean, the fact that you're being approached and collaborating and creating artwork.
Well, that's what's so cool about all these, all poetry also, is, you know, looking at the different styles of poetry, which is really intriguing and kind of influences everybody. Not just, you know... you know, the main influences that I had, for instance, to name a few, Sylvia Plath and also Jim Morrison. For me, I really like a lot of the contemporaries as well, you know, that I've been looking at on a website these days. Just can't recall some of the names, but they're fresh. Coming out of, it's called the Poetry Society. I don't know if you know this website, which gives you a poem a day from new contemporaries, you know, so I'm following some of that. But thank you. Yeah, I tried to experiment, you know. Try to experiment. Pam, you still out there?
I am, yes. Just enjoying things, you know. I really like that you experiment with poetry and, you know, experiment with, you know, adding music to the SoundCloud. I thought the electronic music, especially in the first one, Midnight Still Life, worked really well. Just, you know, strong use of abstract imagery. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I love classic style poetry, you know, like you read a beautiful sonnet or, you know, an other type of classic poem, and it's stunning. But at the same time, I think as poets, we have to remember the importance of experimenting with poetry, because if people throughout history hadn't experimented, there would be certain schools of poetry that would have never come into vision. So I think it's a really cool thing what you're doing. You know, and both rites are absolutely stunning. But I really like A Beach So Empty with floating fear, resigning high over suspended essence, soft swaying palms patiently awaiting sunrise. Just a beautiful, captivating line. And thank you for sharing those with us.
Thank you. Actually, the last one was just a spoken word. I think we picked up the wrong SoundCloud. There is an experimental with 901 and some experimental music. So you can catch it on your own. I think it's on the same SoundCloud. But
okay.
I'm not sure. But,
yeah, that
would have
been my mistake, Cal.
But,
sorry about that.
No problem.
I listened to both of them, and I thought I had the right one, so it's very possible. But I grabbed the wrong one, so I apologize.
It's fine. The words are also experimental. So, you know, But I do appreciate that. Yes, Pam, thank you for pointing that out. It's so important to evolve, you know, or you become stagnated. You know, I mean, we have rapper groups and, you know, we have the hip hop, you know, we've, you know, I don't want this, these kind of things. I want these things to be not passe, you know, say, oh no, another hip hop, you know, I want it to be, you know, it needs to be different. It needs to evolve. You know, of course, you know, you have your influences and it just evolves from that, you know, and that's the way I approach things.
Well, Cal, these hours always go way
too
fast. Are
we ready for the next?
Not quite yet. These hours go way too fast, and we're already at the halfway point. And I want to give you a quick opportunity to give yourself some airtime with some plugs. We know that we can find you under the moniker Chinaski here at All Poetry. You also are on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else? Do you have any books that you can promote or any other sites in which we can find your work?
Just go on my site, Chinaski. There's only one of me as far as that call name is concerned, and just go on there and you'll see my books. I wrote 5 of them. I'm due out for another one, actually. I haven't really
Are they available on what format are they available? Amazon?
I do some Amazon, you know, so I do a self distribution, you know, do it myself. But the main venues that I do also is podcasts as well. So I do a music podcast and also do one with Azama, who is my partner in Soul Asylum group, which is our group, you know, that we collaborate very heavily. Actually, I started my podcast right here on your group, Late Night Poets. And I can tell you, Phil and the whole crew here do an excellent job, and Dave, bringing all these excellent poets in here. I would have never known who Randy is unless, I introduced through this podcast, you know. So all these things really, really bring us all together. Appreciate it.
Well, go ahead. You're allowed to plug, so you're not taking away all of our audience. How can we get a hold of your podcast?
That's true. I think it's better we just get into the poetry right now. So,
fair enough,
our interpretation of the times, which is a very important theme for me, and if we can just start it off with "Remember Me This Way,"
you got it.
We'll
it is up on the board,
that, so.
Sam. Whenever you're ready.
On the mountain, my father stood breathing the billowing winds, flying among echoing canyons, slithering snakes, dried deserts, shapeless silhouettes, flowing shadows, devouring ebony liquid night, blankets covering suspended essence. Honor me and leave my land free. The hovering trees sing symphonies of my birth, while the breeze sculptures the hills and your hand desecrates my will. Earth is infinite to be part of its tracks, while blue cars darken the air, pulling a lung from my throat. Invisible, small, gigantic, reaching the end of furthest things to be metamorphosized into nature, becoming everything in space, time, summoning dead through hollow shaman chants upon other worlds in the deepest inner mind, perfectly empty, with my God kissing the earth. Painted pirouette leaves, youth quickly grew to seed, roots water tree, fruits of harvest, leaving over horizon with cool breeze embers of nostalgia. Ceremony and dances, our tribal circle memories, worshiping, uniting our magic childhood. You parade through soft valleys. One day, the eager rifle will decay into wilderness, pale forest rising light to fill paths with our footprints. Under infinite azure, through a small crackling sky, radiant war paint brushed onto our desert sun, hanging off purple mountains. Remember me that way, as fragrance fills forest, our children will pause, heed, touch, smell what I've become.
Beautiful.
weather report.
Clouds ahead, twisted worlds fed with unwanted sex, digital slaves, democracy frozen in unmarked graves, castles made of sand, hidden boxes of silent sins, sleeping in broken stained glass of drowning revolution, hands muffling, voiceless slaves, chanting from bedroom corners. We know what it's like to be dead. Hidden notes crumbled lost in the back of our heads, with justice lying in puddles of red.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Whoever you are, living crippled existence, there lives with you walking spirits, crackling bones and weary shoes. When you falter, swaying, slipping time glass sand, frolicking into funnels, there won't be a clock that will wither witness, judging right or wrong, shuffling boots in open fields, free-floating abandoned or angels mending broken wings. In this insane theater, where we live as ghosts, throwing stones in glass houses, awakening homeless, war broken, sweet soft silhouettes, lifted suspended essence upon borderless humanity. Tulip spring blossoms appear, quietly snowed in, winter withers away, white immaculate blankets to learn peace, lying to ourselves silently, as the light lays on white walls, cuffed, curled, cocoon beds, wrinkled hands in prayer to become nobody, have nothing, given our names, our day clothes to nurses, and our history to the anesthesiast, bodies to surgeons. We haven't learned the braille of propaganda. We hold on to ocean, polished pebbles, smoothing gently against the skin, needle numbness bringing us sleepy azure, finding horizons.
Apocalypse.
It is the present that was caught in liquid silhouettes surrounding a dim sun, giving birth to the moon. Cold, trembling human cutting down the forest in desperation, pulling a lung from our throat, suffocating us and drowning life. Roots laid exposed, naked, as the skeletal hand rose from the dirt. Snake, lizard, insects, rotating eyes. The huntsman reared, green obedience, laid restless in a dead valley where years before a little girl cried for help. Now, syrup hair became monuments, stabbing eyes, awakening the monsters, widening azure skies behind the skull bone of society. Ghost silhouettes are victims, mirrors, shielding masks from singing lullabies. Swift end of hunt in the swollen beast, preaching conspiracy through a goblin throat in an oval office. Dogs gloat with a pack, surrounding its prey. She's now martyred, taking her home, carrying out our fair-limbed sister's body back to the boat. My human cage, hollow, whistling in wind, rusted dove hinges rocking back and forth to the end, a new beginning, crippled, decomposed underneath the dirt of what we've become. The hourglass, now frozen into timelessness, upon its last hour, slow-moving war scars, morphed moments, touching vivid scabs, hanging threads of orphaned love. So many wild pigeons clutching olive twigs as animals ripe, carrying our disease. Crippled world we leave, flooded, mud puddles, drowning, air thick with smoke, nursing burning ornaments.
This is a great set, Cal.
I gave you the wrong. I gave you guys the wrong link for Weather Report. That was an old one. But anyway, you can see the contrast in styles as I progressed. So Weather Report that you have there wasn't the right Weather Report. Sorry about that. There was another Weather Report, which is more present, and I gave you guys the wrong link. But if you get a chance, listen to the one that was done this year.
Okay.
Weather changes.
Yeah, and that's the one. That's the one. The one that we read of that weather report was one of the ones that really punched out at me. I mean, I thought that one was very, very aggressive, but functional. And I kind of want to give the microphone back to you. Yeah. I mean, I can tell in the body of these, I like how the styles were different. But I know that you're I can tell that you're a very social conscious poet. So I want to give the microphone back to you and just kind of let you run down. How using poetry, what it means to you to be able to express your views in these poems.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jeremy, and also Randy, Pam. The interpretation of the first one, you know, Remember Me This Way, is more a take on our environment and, you know, how, you know, the indigenous nation, you know, at least where I'm from, we're not showy people, you know, in this particular contest, you know, Mount Everest, where they I think there's one mount there a mountain that was actually created for Crazy Horse, you know, it's the Lakota chief, you know, from the Ogala tribe, you know, so it touched me because being indigenous, you know, South America, however, nevertheless indigenous, his memorial, you know, this memorial that they've carved out and sculptured, which is normally would be taken as a honor, right, was actually not taken very honorably by the nation. You know, by the Indian nation, because they don't want to be remembered through this, like, you know, a man-made sculpture. They want to be naturally remembered through the nature of what they become. And this is where we're all missing the point. You know, we're missing the point because we're committing our own suicide by destroying our homes, our nature, you know. And I think, you know, it's really important, especially in these times, to realize, first of all, the togetherness that we need to do, which we lacked, you know, in the nations that we, you know, the indigenous nations of North America. But in these times, it's really important to protect your nature and live off of it to survive. And that's the point of that particular poem. The next one, if I can get my bearing straight here again. The next one was the weather report, and that was done actually a long time ago, 2018. Okay, and I was just trying to get into my voice with background jazz fusion, and this time, you know, I noticed a real lack of democracy during the stage of America, 2018. And I thought to myself how horrible it is, you know, to live in this untruthfulness, which is exactly the opposite of my idol, who is Ludwig Wittgenstein, which I, I'll put the link into the chat, I think, you know, and then let you know who that is. Truth is always important. You know, when we have democracy here, you know, and people are so much into these conspiracy theories, I just had a vision of this kind of happening in Weather Report, you know. castles made of sand, you know, our silent sins, you know, behind, you know, meaning our behind the scenes things that are going on that are causing confusion, and you know, and how it is to be you know, lacking justice. It was just more or less a venting type of poem, you know. And the next one, stuck in the middle with you, which is more recent, is to emphasize what's happening in the war that we've, the wars that we're in, regardless if they're political or they're based on who started it, and everyone's pointing fingers about who initiated or antagonized the war. That's not the point, people. You know, the point is that there are lives being lost in war, you know. Not only are you destroying the environment, but you're losing life. And this is what the point of this poem was, and I tried to express that in those words. And also Apocalypse was more or less a venting, but it is calling for the desperation that we are cutting down our, you know, again, you know, to express how we're committing suicide on the planet, you know, and then trying to understand who the victims are here, our children, our race, you know, and done in more abstract visual. Okay, that's it for me. That's
wow,
the
great
explanation of the poem.
No, thank you. Thank you for all that. Pam, would you like to contribute to the set?
Yes, absolutely I would. I like that you're a socially conscious poet, and I like to hear your thoughts on, you know, what each poem meant to you and meant to our time. And I do think it is really important for poets to be the voice of their time, you know, and just really strong rights in the idea of looking at, you know, what truly matters and how we have to learn to see things in a new way to understand other people. And I really like when you said that the point isn't who started the war. The point is, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, the war has started. I really like, I'm looking at Stuck in the Middle with You, which, of course, automatically I get the song Stuck in the Middle with You bouncing through my head. And so that will be my earworm for the night. And, I really like the lines in this insane theater where we live as ghosts throwing stones in glass houses. You know, we so easily judge other people when, you know, we've got fingers pointing back at ourselves. So just great rights, Chinaski. Very well done. Or Cal, sorry.
Cal. Thank you very much, Pam.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Pam. I'm not really familiar with that Stuck in the Middle with You song by Steeler's Wheel. Can you sing some bars for me, please?
I'm pretty sure you know it quite well.
Oh, come on,
I'll
Pam.
You one of these
come
days.
On.
I'm determined. Randy, would you like to comment on Calzwick?
Yeah, I just we'll go along with basically everything that's already been said. You know, Stuck in the Middle with You, I saw it as pointing out the helplessness and hopelessness of humanity. You know, as we continue to walk through history and seemingly we're unable to learn from our past mistakes. And I thought that that poem spoke to that. Weather Report I took as speaking to the women's movement. I like the hands muffling voices, slaves chanting from bedroom corners. We know what it's like to be dead. I thought that was a very powerful line in that poem, and I thought each and every one of them were powerful and made tremendous statements, social statements, and I enjoyed each and every one of them. Nice job, Cal.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, generous comments, yes. Randy. I like that. All right, Cal, I think we have enough time. If we can hit your jazz fusion, I believe we can make it through this set before we have to turn over to Randy's hour.
Exactly. What I wanted to do is skip the jazz fusion, right, because we had a little bit of the jazz with the weather report, and you guys can look that up later. And let's go into those special poems for those people that are experiencing pain. Starting with Black Rose, if you don't mind, okay?
Yeah, we'll do that. So it's Death of the Black Rose, Pam, is the title?
Haunted with beggar, circling petals, dragging her delicate roots from the shit as it takes another little lie from the crystalline mirror floating gently, harmlessly upon frozen ground. Grace that billows with every lying breath, grown pity in the rotted garden of her life. And it gets deeper, deeper, drowning with reflections, unable to bear one last look into the mirror of destination, empty echoes following lost silhouettes. Black Rose took one lasting look, reaching her withering arms for a mask from the ancient gallery, while fingertips escaped truth, a life without pulse.
Requiem for Goro.
Dear Emmy, a basket that's still warm, looking at you with empty spaces displaced by barks, but filled with suspended essence, billowing smoke wandering through trails of fallen stars. It came to your door one night, wet, thin, beaten, terrorized, cross-eyed friend. You took him in, fed him, and he stayed, grew into trust, until life drove up in your driveway, thieves in darkness. I hear him stretching his paws inside you, wanting to flow evenly out, because we can't stop for death, as it has unkindly stopped you. The carriage, old, weather-beaten, held out long enough. We all arrogantly want immortality. We pass the schools where our children play, following their lessons. We pass the fields of our harvest. Then the cold came. We will now pass the setting sun when we are called. But we'll pause before our own house with the roof scarcely visible, shaking empty with echoes, an ornament hanging chiming in the winter's wind. And you'll remember those voices in untainted piles of driftwood dreams hurled into trance, voices, mysterious moons ajar, wanting to escape quietly from nocturnal spirits residing into recessed crags. Forever yours, Cal.
Great sound calls, Cal. Those are sweet. Pam, you want to start off with some comments?
Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, these are beautiful, wonderful, heartfelt poetry that takes a look at, letting people know that you understand their pain. I really like in this poem, nothingness, lost in the labyrinth, meaningless journeys, driftwood unanchored, timeless billowing, shuffling notes in the city. You know, absolutely just a wonderful line, and just very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Great comments, Pam. Randy, would you like to contribute something?
Sure. I especially like the Death of the Black Rose. You know, it's a kind of a dark, abstract look at the lack of truth. It's a black rose, you know, in a rotten garden of life, and seeking a pulse where there isn't. So I thought that was rather profound, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed all of your poems, Cal.
And yours too. And I do appreciate this venue. You did an excellent job. Thank you for bending the rules a bit for me, because I'm always the one to bend the rules. You know that. So I appreciate. I tried to lay low on this is the light stuff. If you really want to check out the heavy stuff, go on to my poem page and you'll see the more high test stuff. But this is just a little taste of me, and I do appreciate it. Thank you so much, and I'm sorry, Randy, that I won't be able to participate, but I'll be listening, and you know, I have to run off to work now. And thank you so much for getting acquainted with you and also with all of your feedback. I appreciate that so much.
Thank you for your hour, Cal. It was a pleasure to share your poetry.
Thank you, Cal.
Thank you. Take care, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and have a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, Randy.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Are you ready, Randy? Are you ready to do this thing?
I am ready.
Cool. Well, thank you for being so gracious to let Cal go first, because of time constraints, but we are ready for you. I have your first poem, Hidden Tales, up on the board, ready whenever you are.
Okay. Excuse me. This is my very first poem on all poetry. And the prompt was a song by Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind. Hidden Tales. You always wonder about my past, asking questions to see what you can find. But it would barely be a whole lot faster if you could read my mind. Truth serum medicines are hard to get. They're not the kind the drugstores sell. If you could get it, you might be shocked by the results, by the tales my thoughts could tell. Sometimes I think about my life. It's like an old-time movie that I see, but I carefully rearrange the outcome so the hero would be me. What if I could read your mind? You might ask, where is this coming from? Then you might feel the pain when you reach the part where the heartaches come. Our lives are like a paperback novel, but we don't want to read that book again. It brings feelings we can't shake. We make them hidden from our sight, like a ghost that you can't see because the ending's just too hard to take. If we could read between the lines, we might understand it's like pulling memories from a wishing well. I don't know where we went wrong, so let's get real. All these tales are just too hard to tell. And poem.
Great read, Randy. And again, welcome to your hour here on the Headliners Ball. We're excited to get through your work. I really enjoyed this. I like the couplets. I like how there's a range of emotion in them, especially when you think about what you have in terms of the overall concept behind this, of looking back at one's life objectively. There's hope in this. There's also regret, and there's cringe factor to this. It's the whole myriad of emotions that I think one might feel if they did have the opportunity to record their life and go back and view it. So I like that perspective. Now, what I want to know from you, and now you said this was the first one you posted on AP when you joined the site, but in your whole body of work, why is it important? Is it just the significance that this was the first one for AP, so you just wanted to start off with that homage, or is there some kind of other special meaning to you that you have with this poem that you want to make sure that you start off with it?
No, I just thought it would be interesting to go back and grab my very first poem. And all the other poems, I didn't get in any particular order. I tried to get some from different years just to get a variety. My poetry is pretty straightforward. I generally like in-rhyme poems. I occasionally will delve into other things. Being on this site has opened me up to other possibilities. And my stuff is, I will cover many different areas, some political, others like love, romance, comedy. So it's kind of all over the place.
Well, be prepared for a long stream of compliments from me, because I do have a great appreciation for those poets who take the extra effort to make poems rhyme well. So I'm excited to go through your body of work with you tonight. Pam, would you like to contribute something to this poem?
Absolutely. I like that you shared your first poem that you ever put on All Poetry with us. And, you know, the funny thing is I did not even realize. I just learned that you then have only been on All Poetry, huh, for a couple of years?
Yeah, about 2.5 years.
Wow. Wow. I have to say, for some reason, I thought it had been longer, like much longer than that. But this is a great write. It's got that kind of, it's thoughtful. And there is a subtle thought to, you know, that the humor of, if you read my mind, you know, that you might see things that, you don't want to see. And I prefer to think, to rearrange to, I like that. Sometimes I think about my life, it's like an old time movie that I see, but I carefully rearrange the outcome so the hero would be me. I think those are wonderful lines. And I also like how you wrote about, you know, reading between the lines, noticing those things that aren't actually said but are communicating in other ways. And my question for you is, I would like to know how you got started writing poetry.
Well, you know, it was really completely by accident. And I don't exactly remember how I came upon All Poetry, but I did. And I started reading some of the poems, and there was a contest. And this particular poem, I entered into a contest, and then I called into Late Night Poets and read it. And I kind of just became hooked at that point. And I realized that as things go, I'm kind of old. So I came upon poetry late in life. I don't have any poets that are my favorites, you know, so it hasn't been a lifelong thing, and other poets really influenced me or anything like that. I just came on it by chance, and it seems like I had a natural flow about it and took to it very well. And I just started writing poems.
Very cool.
I really like how you just put that. You know how I became a poet? I just started writing poems. Very well said. I like that. All righty, Randy, your next one to share with us, The Foxhole, is up on the board and ready when you are.
Okay, this one is obviously on a little more of a serious note. About war in Vietnam. Foxhole. The history of our nation has been riddled with too many wars, fought in nameless places by nameless people by the score. Some forgotten country, some foolishly seeking vainglory, most just helpless pawns, cannon fodder in the bigger story. Wars, historically, are usually a result of old men's schemes bought by the young and hindering or ending their dreams. Whether conscripted or voluntary, they share a common fate, a rendezvous of destiny on some yet undetermined date, leaving behind family and friends and their tearful mothers, joining up with strangers that become a band of brothers, individuals who would likely never meet, now bound as one, an unwritten code now on the heart of every mother's son. Developing foxhole values, having the other back in battle, the others back in battle. Unlike basic training, we are all simply herd of cattle. Now you rely on each other. Indecision, putting lives at stake, an unprecedented trust not one of us can afford to break. This is true in every war. Soldiers, huddles, one in a fight, and foxholes, precarious tiny islands, while suppressing fright. Foxholes can vary. Mine was a boat, scanning the riverbank, a crowded band of brothers, faces drawn, expressions blank, aware of the physical and emotional scars of every fighter. The lucky ones return home to a future, hopefully, brighter. Unfortunately, many find a future in which they have no role. They are now facing a new war. Time to dig another foxhole. End poem.
Great read. Great read. Go ahead, Pam. Please start us off.
Yeah, this is a powerful write. You know, I always have appreciated, as long as I've known you, because I know you've contributed to our Late Night Poets Veterans Day shows and Memorial Day shows, and the fact that you use your poetic voice to speak up about, you know, serving for your country and the sacrifices made. And, you know, the idea of all that these men and women go through. I really like where you mentioned developing foxhole values, having the others back in battle, unlike basic training where you're simply a herd of cattle. And I like how you remind us that, you know, during these times, these are people, men and women who have to be close to, like, well, you know, to be there for each other. And I also like that you remind us and that there are those physical and those emotional scars of every fighter that they bring home with them and unfortunately, you know, have to deal with. Now, let's see. Let me see. Can I ask a slightly personal question, and you can just say no to answering if you want?
Sure.
All right. Well, I know from what I've read and seen, and I've obviously never experienced anything, that, you know, PTSD is very common with people, you know, veterans, especially in the Vietnam War. And now, and I can imagine you saw a lot of difficult things. So when you're writing a poem, some of your poems that you write about going through war or about even war in general, do you find it's a good part of the healing process if you do need a, and I'm not saying you need a healing process, but, you know, if you, or do you find that it oftentimes you write a poem, like I'll write a poem about things that, shit that happened in my life, which, you know, and it just, it puts me in a funk for days. So do you find yourself kind of being like shut down because you're bombarded yourself with these memories? Like, how does that affect you?
It affects me in a combination of ways. In some ways it's therapeutic because I don't, and I think a lot of veterans don't go around talking about their experience to people. So a lot of that stuff is just kind of kept inside. So through poetry, I allow some of it to come out. And so it's therapeutic in that way. I've been very blessed in that I never experienced many of the problems that other veterans have, you know, with terrible nightmares and not being able to deal with being back in society. When I first came back, it was difficult. I had to deal with it. But nothing special. But yeah, I find that writing these are more therapeutic than anything else. And sometimes they are difficult. And sometimes in a couple of the poems that I've written dealing with war. I have trouble finishing them, and I get a little choked up. So, yeah, it brings on a number of emotions when I'm doing it.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah. Great question, Pam, and thank you for being so bold to answer it that way, Randy. Wow, great share. I'm going to butcher this, but I always like to bring it up when we talk about war, soldier poetry, is that the Churchill quote from when he was asked during the war if they should sacrifice the government fund for poetry and the arts to help the war effort. And Churchill's response was, well, what are we even fighting the war for in the first place? So I like the because war is such a hard and terrible and ugly thing, I like that something beautiful can come from it. And I love the answer that you just gave too, Randy, that it's kind of a therapeutic and cathartic experience for you to touch on it in a way that lets you release a lot of that pain. I feel a kinsmanship with you, even though, and I guess it's embarrassingly false valor to say that I can even relate to any of the pain, but there's always such passion in soldier poetry that you feel it, even as someone like myself, someone that's never been in that situation. And that's emphasized in this poem in the fact that you repeated the lines Band of Brothers twice in here. And it was that bond. I mean, that bond is really what you took away, which is going to, I assume, would live with you your whole life. So something, going through something so horrible can bring people so close together, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, that paradox and the fact that something so awful can bring something so beautiful. So that's always what I like to take away from soldier poetry.
I think, hopefully, at least from my point of view, poetry should be able to reach people of different backgrounds, so that if I read someone else's poem, I should be able to feel it, even though I've never felt what they went through. But I can feel something akin to that through their words. So I appreciate that you felt that.
Very well said, my friend. Very well said. Your next one, Judgment, a Poet's Curse, is up on the boards and ready when you are.
Judgment, a Poet's Curse. I happened upon all poetry one day, quite by chance, casually decided to give some of its poems a glance. And then I saw a contest and thought I'd give it a go, writing my very first poem and called into the show. Happy with the experience, I looked for more choices, writing poems often, hearing from critical voices. Early on, it bruised my ego, and I took it very personal. Calming down, I listened, and I became more versatile. The more I wrote, the more active I became involved. And I saw my individual writing style begin to evolve. But still trying to other forms of poetry at times and returning to my favorite poems with end rhyme. I think poets write the subject that touched their soul, trying to bring them to life. This is the artist's main goal. They explore the good, bad, and ugliness and beauty. Despite all judgment, their pleasure, not their duty. End poem.
And we've somehow got to incorporate this poem into the introduction of the show, because that first stanza is so perfect for what everyone feels on some level when they are so bold to take part in what we try to create here on the Late Night Poet. So I don't think I've ever read, Pam, you probably have, but I've never read one that actually talks about the experience of what we're doing. So this is a great poem. It made me giggle the whole way through, because I've never even thought something that can be so personal. I mean, it's a different way for all of us to connect, right? That's why we have these podcasts. We get to hear each other's voices. We get to have conversation. And when you talk about poetry, something that can be something so personal for someone to connect again on a deeper level with the audience. Just like what you were saying earlier, Randy, where you hope that you connect with your audience, and that's why you write the poetry. And then to be able to discuss it and actually have that connection, have the fulfillment, it's a really fulfilling, scary, beautiful, ugly, sweaty, cool experience. And I don't know, again, I don't know that I've ever seen someone capture it like this. So I was smiling the whole way through because it's oddly never even occurred to me to capture that experience the way you just did. So bravo.
Thank you.
And what I want to ask you, this is one of my most favorite questions, is tell me about your process. How do you sit down and write with pad and pen? Are you typing on the computer? Are you sitting out in the woods somewhere? How do you put together these pieces of poetry?
Well, usually, because a lot of the poems I write are simply in response to a prompt of some sort, either a picture or a quote or anything like that, you know, whatever the prompt may be. And generally speaking, when I first see the prompt, I get something. And it may end up being the last line of the poem or the beginning, but I just get something and then I go from there and I sit down at the computer and put it on there. I did it on paper first. Early on, there'd be times when I just sit up in my bed in the middle of the night. Something came to me and I had to get up and scribble it down because I knew I'd forget it if I was back to sleep. So I don't do that much anymore, but if I get an idea, I will immediately put it down, and then I may come back to it later to finish it. But, yeah, I usually do it on a computer.
Very well done. Pam, would you like to comment on this poem?
Yes, absolutely. I really like this one. Is a smile-inducing write because it's such a positive look at contest, because I know not everybody has positive outlooks, and it's so very relatable because you do take a look at the idea of how it can be difficult to be judged, and it can be a bruising to the ego, but we have to, like, I really like that stanza, you know, where you said writing poems often and hearing from critical voices early on, it bruised my ego and took it very personal. Calming down, I listened and became more versatile. And I like that you speak on this idea of, you know, learning, but at the same time learning that in the end you really have to be true to the style that speaks best to you. And so we all know you're just a wonderful rhyming poet. So do you have any other favorite poetic devices that either you like to use or that you like to see in other people's poetry?
Well, lately, I have enjoyed doing limericks. I find them a fun little challenge, and they're usually, you know, something clever and funny. So that's kind of a nice escape to do that rather than do something serious. And I've done some haiku lately as well. So, you know, I try to write some things that are outside of just rhymes, but that's what I always fall back on. I've tried free verse, and I'm just not good at it at all. I can read free verse of someone else and really enjoy it. I cannot, if I start writing something, it just becomes a rhyme, so I don't even try it anymore.
I get it. And I have to agree with you. Limericks are so much fun. You know, they're fun to read and they're just fun to write. So very cool.
Great answer. Your next poem is up on the board, my friend, Christmas at Sea.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, this was a fun one, I thought. I mean, I kind of had fun with it because I tried to read it with a Cockney accent, which I'm not very good at. But Christmas is a Cockney sailor's tale. A sailor's life is lonely despite always being on the move, far from home and family. That's why me mom so disapproved. She said, why can't you be a butcher and stay here at home instead of a booming sailor always wandering on the roam? These thoughts most common when sailing in December. And me, Christmases as a lad are pleasantly remembered. They now seem so far away, a distant time, a different place, as I now stand watch the bitter cold wind biting at me face, thinking how warm my mom and dad are sitting by the fire. She's wrapping gifts. He has this bottle of rye before they retire, resting for the morrow when me siblings they will receive. Me with frozen tears upon me cheeks this Christmas Eve. Such is the life of a sailor and the harsh way of life I've chosen. It always seems much worse when I'm here all alone and frozen. But soon we'll be back in port. Mom, happy I'm home. It's home I came. I still fancy you a butcher. That much hasn't changed. End poem.
Go ahead, Pam. You get to start us off, please.
Oh, I love this one. I remember this. This was first. This was originally written for my contest for Christmas last year or so, I think. And it was Robert Louis Stevenson. Yeah, yeah, Christmas at Sea. And I remember this because I was so impressed with that. I loved that you had fun with the Cockney accent, and I remember reading it and messaging it to Rex, you know, and going, look at this write that Randy's done. It is so cool. You need to read this on the show. And he did, and he did a wonderful job of it, but so did you. This was actually, I was surprised. I actually just added this to my amazing writes list, and I was surprised I hadn't done it before, but sometimes I think about doing something and it doesn't happen. This is a wonderful storytelling write, and it's a prime example of how you are able to get into the head of a character and become them. I really like that you become this sailor from like the 19th century, and you know, the idea of, you know, how his family, especially his mother, feels about him being away on Christmas. You know, so excellent write. Now, my question for you this round is, I know you mentioned earlier that you're very new to poetry, and so you really don't have a lot of favorite classic poets, but I do also know that you write a lot for rhythm and rhyme, and you're into music. So I would like to know, who are your top three favorite song lyricists?
The most influential, I think, well, Bob Dylan would be number one. Probably less concerning my poetry, but our musical influence would be McCartney and Lennon as far as songwriters go. But I also like Gordon Lightfoot and Harry Chapin. I love storytellers, guys that do lyrics that really tell stories. And Harry Chapin and Gordon Lightfoot are very good at that, as well as Dylan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool.
Great question, Pam. Yeah, because you can see the storyteller come through in their inspiration. And I think that Bob Dylan is definitely a modern day poet. I think he's one of the greatest songwriters still working today. So those are great inspirations. And I can see how that comes through and what you put together. This one's a trip, right? Because it's an awfully sad tale. This poor kid missing Christmas and being out in the cold and being out in the sea, and it's so dark and painful and tugs at your heartstrings. But then you brought a smile to my face by the Cockney spin, and you did a wonderful, masterful job of it. I mean, I couldn't – it was Angela's Ashes the whole way through, and I was just grinning because of – for some reason, even though it's something so painful and heartfelt, it brought a smile to my face. And then you even ended it with kind of a lighthearted joke, how the mother saying, well, I still want you to be a butcher. So serves you right for going out to sea. And so that there was this paradox to the whole poem that I thought was very clever, because you can look at it a couple different ways, and you can delve into the emotion one way or the other, or you can, I guess you can take it the way I did and kind of take the dueling banjos that are going on here with with both the lighthearted spirit in your style or the somber tone of the content. So that was very clever the way you did that, and I appreciate it for that.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, of course. I want you to talk a little bit. We're about a halfway point. I know that you're new to AP. Is there any way, do you have any published works? Is there any other avenues that you've chosen to celebrate your artwork that we could explore besides all poetry?
I put together a kind of a booklet of poems of mine, about 95 poems I had printed. It's not for sale. It's not, I didn't go through any publisher or anything like that. I had like, I don't know, 40 or 50 copies printed up, and I gave it to family members and friends, and I was inspired to do that. I just kind of put it together on my own, and it was kind of funny. I learned a lot by doing that. I figured, because after I reread it, after it was all done and had a cover, had covers on it and everything, that I realized I had a couple of mistakes in there, spelling errors and different things like that. Minor, not many of them, but a few. So I learned that if I should ever do that again, to have a second set of eyes proofread it before I send it to the printer. But yeah, I haven't had anything actually published.
I love that story. It's real easy if you're ever interested. There's several avenues through Amazon in which you can just send your file in, and they'll publish it for you, and you can sell it or make it, give it to a wider variety or a wider audience to share with. But it's funny that you say about the spelling errors, because yes, I was victim to that as well. And what I've even had to do is hundreds and thousands of times that I've gone over a poem, I'll still have mistakes in there that my eyes don't see. So what I've even decided to do is I do it, and then I have the computer and the computer voice read through the words. So at least I know if there's a spelling mistake or there's something funky that I didn't even catch, I'll hear it. I have to close my eyes and listen to the computer read it to me to know that I've done it right. But that's cool. That's very cool that you put something in people's hands. So it had to be a gratifying experience, I assume, when you were able to print something and give it to people. It was always positive.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, right on, man. Very cool. Very cool. Well, I encourage you, if you want to let the rest of us see a printed copy, there's an easy way to just upload a Word file, and you can do it. So if you ever need help, there's several of us here that have gone through the pain of doing it, and it's very gratifying. So right on.
Okay, thank you.
Your next Wailing Tale is available and ready when you are.
Okay, this is another, obviously, pardon me, having to do with ships and sailing, and this is far more on the serious side. It was prompted by a story of Owen Coffin, a terrible situation of sailors that were stranded in a small boat and ended up with cannibalism to stay alive. That and a song by a mountain called Nantucket Sleigh Ride. So I combined them both, and it's a wailing tale. Salt water flows through my veins. I was born to be a sailor. It's all my family knows. I'm the son of a whaler. Some my age are getting married, building their new life. I'm married to the sea, a sailor, whose ship is now his wife. I'll write a daily journal, my diary, of our trials and pleasures, always keeping it on my person as my very private treasure. We sailed out of London on the Essex with a favorable wind. Our course was set westward. Lady Luck's now our only friend, and finally reaching the warm waters of the clear blue Pacific, where tales of monster whales seemed unbelievably terrific. The promise of big whales, the target, or motley crew, and knowing of the danger, we gave the giant devils their due. Whale ho, a large pod, the lookout shouts, smile on his face. The captain says, come about hard, and we're off to the chase. As the wind fills our sails, we hit 15 knots, all hands on deck. They're preparing a small boat Everett's most dangerous trek. Manning the boat, first mate and his harpooner, that's me, and a stout rowers, eyes ablaze, their oars cut through the sea. Now in the midst, I thrust my harpoon into the big one's side. With no slack in our rope, so begins our Nantucket sleigh ride. He takes off, skimming us across the water, pulling us along, diving and then resurfacing. We can't believe he's this strong. Into our shock, he ramps the ship, listing, it takes on water, then sinks, all alone, adrift, helpless, and now shark fodder. Without any drinking water or food, no ships or land in sight. Our days drag on, death takes the weakest, ending their fight. Thus becoming meals for the living, it's gone beyond the pale. I enter this morbid final chapter into the sailor's wailing tale. End poem.
It is a dark tale, but you tell it. It was fun hearing again the Gordon Lightfoot, the inspirations that you have, because you do tell stories so well in your poetry. This one's a journey, and I like how you do it all again with that beautiful rhyme scheme. I mean, it comes across and it rolls so well. So bravo to this one. So I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but the last two have had nautical themes. Do you have a strong connection with the sea that you want to share with us?
Well, I was a sailor for 4 years, and one year of it I spent on river boats in Vietnam. So I'm familiar with small boats as well as ships. And it does get in your blood. There's something magical and mysterious when you're out in the middle of the ocean. So, yeah, I have a connection to the ocean.
Yeah, I'd say. Great answer, my friend. Go ahead, Pam. What do you have to contribute?
Yeah, this is a great story, right? It's strong because it has, to me, wonderful attention to detail. You know, I like how you take us into the point of view of a whaling ship that's their life, that they put their life on the line. But the attention to detail I really like is stuff like, you know, the mentioning the 15 knots and the pod, you know, what a group of whales is called. And it is definitely a dark rite. I like that. I like that you bring us into the sadness and the darkness of this particular lifestyle. So just an excellent rite and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. Great comment. All righty, Randy. The foulest deed is up and ready when you are.
Okay, this is based off a song by Bob Dylan. I mentioned him earlier. The Foulest Deed. Bob Dylan has written many songs throughout the years. Thoughtful, rebellious, romantic, something for every year. Sometimes singing with a grin, sometimes with a scowl. But he delivered this one with a tear, a murder most foul. Those of us who are old enough remember it all too well. A moment frozen in time, a moment straight out of hell. I was in class, and a teacher burst in sobbing into a towel. The president's been shot and killed, a murder most foul. Shots are fired from the school book depository window and ringing through Daly Plaza, echoing their crescendo. Confusion reigning, police search, shooter on the prowl, looking for the assassin, guilty of this murder most foul. The nation shocked, not comprehending this evil deed, rushed home to console each other, glued to their TVs. People everywhere could be heard groaning out in howls. The country mourned together from a murder most foul. Mr. Zimmerman, in his style, gives us a song of sorrow, including in it many other song titles that he borrowed, building a wall of words cemented with an art trowel, lamenting Kennedy's death, a heinous murder was foul. End poem.
Great read. Great read. Go ahead, Pam. Can you start us off, please?
Absolutely. This is a wonderful write. I like that you were inspired by the song and wrote about the majority of this poem is about that horrific day that Kennedy was shot and how the nation reacted. But I did like how in the last stanza, you kind of gave a little nod to Bob Dylan with the, using his real name and the line, Mr. Zimmerman and his style gives us a song of sorrow. You know, and that is so true. You know, oftentimes in moments of great sadness, you know, song lyrics or poetry really helps to express that. And I like that where you say, I was in class and a teacher burst in sobbing into a towel. You know, you like the it's so vivid in those memories of what exactly, we're, like, I think everybody has that, you know, where exactly you were when this happened. You know, it's just a strong write and very well done. And my question is, do you have favorite kinds of prompts?
I mean, that's kind of hard. Not necessarily. You know, every day or every other day, I go on all poetry and I'll look at the contest. There are new ones, you know, I'll go down them and I just kind of let something catch my eye, something that looks interesting. And that's why I have a lot of poems about a lot of different things, because it's whatever catches my fancy at the moment and I feel inspired to write something. And, you know, to that particular prompt, whatever it might be, it you know, I like picture prompts that have beautiful scenery described or something like that. Or it doesn't really matter. I don't have a preference necessarily.
Okay, cool.
And what I really liked about this one was the beating of the fist by the fact that the end of each stanza was that repetition. I think it expressed an added amount of disgust, frustration, sorrow. It really worked well with this rhyming format, the fact that you included that repetition in this one. So, I don't know, it intensified the emotion for me. So I appreciated it for that. And then to kind of follow up.
It's replicated also in Bob Dylan's song. And if you ever get a chance,
okay.
You might check it out. It's Murder Most Foul. It's a really long song. It's
okay.
Probably his
okay.
longest song. It's pretty, there's a lot to it.
No, I'll give it a listen. And that's very cool then. I mean, the fact that you're giving like double homage, right, to both Kennedy and to Dylan and very much what Pam Hardy commented on. That's a cool little twist that I didn't even pick up on. Very cool. And also... I'm really trailing behind Pam on all my comments on this one. I like her question and what your prompts are and the fact that you have such an emotional connection. So you'll go through 5, 10, 20 prompts and then something that strikes a chord with you, that's what's going to be your inspiration for a poem. So you have a connection with something that gets you going. So it's a very emotional and I guess spontaneous selection process, right?
Yep.
But then
yeah,
the way that you write – go ahead.
Yes, it is, yeah, spontaneous.
And, yeah, and so the fact that something's so emotional and spontaneous, and then the way that you create poems that are very well metered and very well rhyming, I mean, I think it's cool that you lasso those emotions and then are able to put it down with all those constraints of your device. So I guess I want to even hear more about your process. Is it hard? I mean, you're obviously not. You're not Dr. Seuss. You're not talking and thinking in rhyme all the time. So do you have a long editing process to get things so refined to this degree when you do it?
Yeah, it, pardon me, some of them take hours. and sometimes occasionally it'll go over, you know, a course of a couple of days, because I'll get to a certain point and I'll just have to get away from it and come back to it the next day to get the right words to come out correct. And sometimes I go back and edit two or three times during the whole process as well. So, yeah, it's
so
kind
you
of painstaking.
Feel, if you're grabbing, again, if it's an emotional connection, you see something and inspires you, you want to put it on paper right away, you don't lose any of that love and feeling then from the emotion, your original connection. I mean, if it's taking a day or two, it's something I personally struggle with, I guess is why I'm asking the question. Because I don't put poems down quick enough for me to keep my emotions as strong as I want. I walk away sometimes and they never get done because of that. So do you find a lack of intensity because of the device that you choose? I'm not saying it takes away. Please don't interpret my question that way. I'm saying, are you able to keep the juice alive to get what you want, your feelings, because you are so stringent with your editing process?
Yeah, I hang on to it because I go back to whatever verse or idea I had that made me want to write that poem to begin with. Like I said, sometimes it'll be the first line, sometimes it'll be the last line, and I just have to build on it either in reverse or however it flows. But I always have that line in mind, and that's the driving force behind the whole poem.
And I think that's the key. I guess that's the key that I'm looking for. I think you're exactly right. I mean, I don't profess myself to be a talented rhyming poet like what you presented, but I think you're exactly right. Taking that little bit of that one little idea that puts the smirk on your face or gets your emotions flowing, getting that on paper is kind of the muse for the whole body. I think that's something you can come back to. So, yeah, I love that answer. Very well said. All right, my friends. Blind Samaritan, is that the way that you are?
Okay, this is a pretty I found this to be an emotional, you know, this is one that speaks to a social issue. Blind Samaritan. Should you happen by me on the street? Do you avert your eyes? Does my presence so unnerve you that it takes you by surprise? A glimpse of another reality, one for which you are not prepared, filled with pain and disorder, repulsive ugliness, dark despair. A world within a world, the portion many would like to disregard, acknowledging its existence, a revelation, stark and far too hard. Just look away. You're not responsible for those you cannot see. Keep moving right along, minding your business, and let them be. This is an untidy social problem. Others are paid to do this job. Citizens cannot be exposed, risking being assaulted and or robbed. At least there should be an area where they might be controlled, a sacred distance from civilization, secure and properly patrolled. A harsh reality of the problem is that many of these castaways, once very productive and vibrant souls, way back in kinder days, who happened on hard times, each having uniquely tragic tale. If not reached quickly, they'll live in a permanent, homeless veil. I know the story painfully well, because I was once one of you, averting my glance from the filthy man who had many shoes. Now I'm that man, watching people as they busily come and go, ironically reaping the heartlessness I once so callously sowed in poem.
Yeah, this is a really tough one for me because it's so relevant today. I'm on the West Coast, and the homeless situation in many of the cities that we have all up and down the coastline is it's becoming something that needs to be dealt with properly. And I think you touch on that. I mean, you bring it all back around that the narrative voice actually is a homeless voice, and so that makes you the reader, your audience, connect with it on a much more human level. And that's the reminder that I think that we all need to have with the social problem is that, yeah, we're dealing with humans. And there's a reason they're homeless. There's a reason they're going through a hard time. And that needs to be acknowledged first before anything else can be done. And I think for me, let me get off my soapbox for a second. Everyone is unique. There's not a universal solution. I think that's what's so tough. So I really appreciate this. I think there's a lot of heart to it. And it's a social issue that I think needs to be brought to the forefront because it's a growing problem. So very well said, very well put together.
There, but for the grace of God, go I.
Yeah. My question to you is, what kind of advice can you give? I mean, I know you're relatively newer to poetry, but you're definitely a budding poet. You're very talented. And what other advice can you give people that want to hone their craft?
Well, mostly it's just do it, just write. If you feel passionate about something, if there's an area in which, you know, some people want to specialize in certain areas, and then by all means do that and write. And if you hear dissenting voices or people don't like it, in the first place, just write for yourself. If you like it, then keep writing it. And the more you do that, the more easily it will happen. And it will begin to flow more easily the longer you do it. I mean, like I said, sometimes a poem may still take hours to write, but I generally don't think of it as a burden anymore. It's just some of them take a little longer than others to put together. But yeah, just if you're interested in writing, whether it's poetry or songs or anything, then just by all means write them. Just keep learning the craft and continuing to work at it.
No, I think that's wonderful advice. I really like that. You got to do it for yourself, and anything else that you might get is just gravy. So wonderful advice. Go ahead, Pam. What do you have to comment?
Yeah, this is definitely a write with a lot of heart in it. And I like that you write about the thought that too oftentimes people think if they ignore a problem like homelessness, then it doesn't exist. But the truth is that it does. And I like that you use your poetic voice to remind us of that. I really like the lines, this is an untidy social problem. Others are paid to do this job. Citizens cannot be exposed to being assaulted and or robbed. And then I like that, you know, you bring it around at the end, as Jeremy said, with the idea that, you know, I'm that man. I was that person who ignored those suffering, and now I'm at that same point myself. So just a powerful write and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. And I think we definitely have enough time for one more. So, Randy, the man in black himself is up, ready when you are.
Okay. Obviously, this is a poem about Johnny Cash, Man in Black. Ray and Carey unknowingly produced a legend back in 1932, J.R. Cash, who was born into the world without any fanfare or ado. In Kingsland, Arkansas, place where Johnny's life began, but it could not hold him because his destiny was far too grand. His mom taught him guitar. That's how he got his early start. By the age of 12, he's writing songs right from the heart. He did odd jobs growing up, but knew what he wanted to be, leading him inevitably right straight to Nashville, Tennessee, country music's capital, Roy Acuff. Place where the cream rises, if they have the right stuff. Where Elvis, Jerry Lee, and Carl Perkins got their beginning, Johnny traveled the hard road, along with Waylon Jennings. A rebel, struggling with addiction, while just getting hired, battling inner demons, caught up in his burning ring of fire, and calmed by June Carter's love, she always had his back, helping to stabilize this haunted, mysterious man in black. End poem.
Great poem. Go ahead, Pam. Start us off, please.
Yeah, this is a wonderful tribute, right? It's got great rhyme and flow. I like that you show us, you know, so much about Johnny Cash, from his birth to his relationship with June Carter, and, you know, how she was there to support him and the many people that he influenced, you know, and so just really a wonderful tribute, right, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Well, he was, I have some great stories for you. I'll try to share them quickly. He was one of the original rock stars. I mean, he doing his concert from Folsom Prison and everything that he did. And I didn't get a greater appreciation for Johnny Cash until later in life. But once I understood what was going on, I really fell in love with his music. So I lived abroad for a number of years. And one of my best friends down there didn't speak any English. It was down in Mexico. And he and his son loved Johnny Cash. And he would just get the biggest kick when I would just belt out, I fell into a burning ring of fire, and he would feel like he's playing with the guitar. And I had the Johnny Cash box set, and I gave it to him, and you would have thought I gave him $100. It was the biggest gift for him and his son to listen to Johnny Cash over and over again, even though they didn't understand a single word the guy was saying. And then
that's great.
There's the current I've Been Everywhere Man, some car commercial or something like that, and I have a very young son. And he fell in love with the song. We have Alexa in our house, and he heard me say, "Alexa, play Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere." And so now he just screams, "Alexa, play Johnny Cash," all day long, every day, jumping up and down to the Man in Black. So know that three-year-old Johnny Cash is alive and well, and I'm glad that my three-year-old was able to tune in much earlier in life than I was to the great Johnny Cash. This is a wonderful tribute to him.
That's great.
Well, it's a lot of fun. So, Randy, it's been a pleasure having you headline tonight. Would you like to give us any positive final words of encouragement for the show or anything else you'd like to close us off with this evening?
Well, no, but it's a wonderful show, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on it. And I'm sure that in the future, other poets that you have and that you invite on will be equally thrilled as I have been to be a part of it, to share their poetry and to check in with other poets like we had with Cal. His stuff was new to me, and from my point of view, very different. We're two very different poets, but I enjoyed his poetry very well. He writes in a completely different style than I do, but that's good. It's good to be to familiarize yourself with as many different types of writing as you can. May help influence you in the future.
Very well said. No, you are a wonderful headliner. Thank you for spending an hour with us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to celebrate your work. I encourage everyone to look at Randy G's set list. We didn't make it all the way through in our hour. We seldom are able to. But thank you again, Randy, and also please check out the rest of his work here on All Poetry. Pam, would you like to give us some sign-off words for the evening, please?
Wonderful show tonight, as always, Jeremy. Thank you, Randy and Cal, for calling in and agreeing to be headline. Great to hang out with you all, and have a good night, everyone.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Thank you, Pam.